Welcome to Tech Insights from InfoTech Research Group, the podcast where our team of expert analysts cut through all the noise and focus on what really matters for technology leaders. If you were trying to imagine the year 2035, you might look to the 2004 movie, iRobot, starring Will Smith. Set in the year 2035, the film imagines robots being powered by artificial intelligence as central planks of the future economy. These robots, which look and move exactly like humans, but better, hold service jobs. They deliver packages, pick up groceries, and they clean up the streets. And of course, since this is a Hollywood movie, they eventually try to overthrow humanity. But that's besides the point. Today, we're going to look at a different vision for the year 2035, one that's a little bit less Hollywood and a little bit more Silicon Valley. It's a vision that still has AI at work as a focal point, but not humanoid robots. It's a survey of 500 executives and 1,000 employees, and it's about what they think work will look like in 15 years. The study was conducted by Oxford Analytical and Coleman Parks with the support of technology vendor Citrix. Respondents were based in the US and Europe, and joining me here today to discuss the findings of the survey is Tim Minahan, the Executive Vice President of Strategy and the Chief Marketing Officer at Citrix. Welcome, Tim.
Thanks, Brian. It's great to be here.
We are also joined by InfoTech's resident expert in artificial intelligence, Natalia Mojeska. Welcome, Natalia.
Thanks, Brian. Great to be here.
I want to start right at the top of the survey. And, you know, I've been seeing this for I feel like years now, and I've been reading a lot of surveys on AI over the last few years, more than most people, I guess. But why is it that every time I read about AI from a Silicon Valley-based vendor, they're telling me that AI will not replace humans, but instead augment them? Just a few data points here. 60% of professionals think that by 2035, permanent employees will be rare. 72% of professionals believe that AI will generate more revenue for organizations than human workers and will also be absorbing more of the annual operating costs. And 57% think that you can eliminate senior management and let AI make most business decisions. Wow. Okay. So, Tim, why do you think that this is such a theme here?
Well, Brian, I think this is a convergence of not just technology, but a tectonic shift in how organizations and employees are beginning to view work, what the role of the worker is, how they work, when they work, where they work, what the role of the organization is, and what the role of the office is. When you bring technology into the play and you bring the current pandemic environment into play, you're seeing a rapid acceleration of these dynamics. So when we did the study, we knew that people were focused on the here and now and getting folks home and working safely. But we wanted to look out as, okay, what happens when we emerge from this pandemic? What should you be doing now to plan for the future? And when you think about the role that AI will play, I think you're already beginning to see it weave its way into the workforce. And it really is this concept of this augmented worker in which we can actually liberate work in ways we couldn't before. You can allow employees to actually not only be more productive, but be more innovative and creative by presenting the right information to them at the right time, by removing a lot of the noise from their day and complementing technology. And so, you know, the real answer to your question, you know, robots will not replace humans. But they will indeed, you know, make us smarter. They will indeed, you know, more than 3/4 of those polled believe that in 15 years, AI is actually going to speed up decision making. They'll make us more productive, right? Projections from the study where employees feel they can be twice as productive by being supported by AI and ML. The big question around jobs. Will bots replace some jobs? Absolutely. Some of the menial tasks and the like, but it will create new jobs. And that was another key finding in the study. Things like humans that actually need to train the bots, virtual reality managers, advanced data scientists, privacy and trust managers, design thinking. These are the types of new roles that are going to emerge in this new world of work.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me that AI, there's some jobs that are, it's just not going to cut into anytime soon, at least. But there are some jobs that it could automate away. I think that's possible, depending on how much decision making, how much judgment is tied up in that job. And Natalia, what's your view of it?
Well, I think I agree with everything that Tim said. Technology has always created new jobs and eliminated old ones. Just look historically, 100 years ago, there were people who were chimney sweeps or, you know, milk delivery men, or people who used to go around neighborhoods and knock on your door. They were walking alarm clocks. All those jobs that Tim mentioned, and maybe some new ones which we haven't even thought about, are going to show up, are going to appear. But I do want to add a slight angle also to why this conversation is shifting from AI, the fear of AI replacing humans, to instead augmenting humans. I think it's also partly because we are now waking up to recognize there is actually no intelligence in artificial intelligence. It's really statistic on steroids. It's really processing big data with algorithms. And because of that, I think we are probably a little bit more cautious with delegating decision making to robots, to machines, and so probably starting to realize that machines will augment us, machines will support us, and like Tim said, perhaps present the right information at the right time, but hopefully the ultimate decision still will reside with us humans and the ultimate control.
Yeah, and that's why I was surprised by this one stat here that I already mentioned, that 57% think you can eliminate senior management and let AI make most business decisions. I'm thinking, I don't agree with that. I mean, would we like to work for AI? Do people imagine that they would be in a position where they'd get in front of their computer for it to start their job? You can tell I've been doing remote work for too long now. But, you know, being told what their daily tasks are just by some sort of algorithm instead of talking to a human about it, it seems surprising to me. Tim, why do you think that so many people consider that AI would be in a senior management sort of role?
Yeah, I think, yeah, Brian, none of these findings can be looked at independently, right? It is the two vectors of the advancement of technology and the revolution, I'll say, in work models. And so as, you know, more and more companies begin to adapt, you know, currently to a hybrid work model and then to, you know, a much more distributed work model, it's not just about, you know, does my existing full-time employee, you know, Sam or Susie, work in the office or work remotely. It is more about opening up access to new talent pools. Employees are already voting with their feet, moving out of high-cost metropolitan areas like Silicon Valley and New York City, because they recognize that they can indeed be creative and innovative, and possibly even more so, as some of the data in recent studies has bore out, when you're not dealing with all the stress around there. And so what does that mean? That means we're going to see a new kind of work model, one in which large organizations are largely going to be kind of replaced by free agent type roles, where employees are going to actually work for different organizations, where the workforce strategies are going to be moving from full-time workers or contractors to more pools of talent that you assemble really quickly to address a particular business issue or project and disassemble just as quickly. And so as a result, that's going to change the dynamic, not just in the use of technology to foster a collaborative environment, to onboard folks quickly, to source those skills, to actually help in the decision making and the like, but it's also going to cause companies to rethink their organizational structures. You know, the traditional hierarchical command and control is probably going to evaporate, whether we move fully to a freelance frontier, which is one of the proposed future scenarios from the study. That's yet to be seen, or whether it's more a blended model where you do have, you know, this kind of distributed agent of workers that are complemented by technology, which seems much more practical. but it certainly is going to eliminate the need for a lot of the hierarchical command and control and middle management that we've come to rely on since Henry Ford.
Okay, so a future with flatter organizations, smaller teams operating in this sort of platform organization structure that we've seen sort of these tech companies out of Silicon Valley using to operate. That's interesting. You think AI will accelerate that trend? Natalia, do you agree with that sort of vision of the workplace in 15 years or?
I think yes and no. And partly, I think some of this will be happening, definitely. And perhaps in some organization, maybe those who are more technologically advanced and mature and more flexible. I think it also depends a little bit on sort of what markets they operate in. But some organizations, I think, will kind of stick to this legacy, traditional hierarchical structure and command and control. And partly it's because, you know, here we're talking about human nature, and human nature is really hard to change. We people and organizations don't like new things. At least many people don't like new things, and that's why a lot of transformational initiatives and change management initiatives are so hard to actually implement successfully. But I also want to go back to the question you started with. You know, are they going to be a lot of managers who are, artificial intelligence? I don't think so. The reason being, a lot of these AI systems are black box systems, and until they become open book rather than black box, we won't be able to trust them. We won't be able to trust them to make business decisions, to make decisions in our personal lives, even if they're already doing a lot of that. And so until that happened, until they're more transparent and have the explanatory power, kind of can explain, why, they arrived at a particular recommendation or decision suggestion, we won't be able to trust them. I think humans always, trust themselves much more than machines.
Yeah, the type of change that it would require is a pretty big leap. And a more realistic outcome that I could definitely see is senior management making use of more AI tools to help them with decision making. But at the end of the day, I think that we'll always want people making judgments about which direction we're taking strategically for organizations, what goals we're going to pursue. Obviously some lower level decisions like where to make a widget or how many things to put in a shipment can be made by AI. But I think you want human decision makers in there along the way. But Let's move on to other stuff in the survey, because there's so many different scenarios that are fascinating. And talking about big changes compared to if here in 2020, there's a scenario in this survey where some workers are choosing to be implanted with technology to improve their experience at work. I was really surprised to read that almost half of professionals would be willing to have a chip implanted in their body if it would significantly improve their performance and their pay. I wonder if my guests would go for this. Tim, how about you? If I gave you a raise and you knew you were going to do better at work, would you get a chip implanted?
Well, Brian, this is by far the most controversial finding of the foundational study here. That prediction that, some employees would take technology augmentation a step further, choosing to implant a microchip. Now, I think, there was even more visceral reaction than elimination of middle management. But I think like that, we're already seeing, we're already seeing this happen. In Sweden, for example, they made headlines for embracing biohacking. More than 4,000 people already had small microchips implanted in their hands, and these chips, promised to replace keys and credit cards and better connect with their digital footprint. I know, I personally get frustrated at checkout these days when they don't have Apple Pay and I have to do things the old-fashioned way and pull out my credit card or my ATM card. But, you know, the concept here is, you know, enabling, you know, seamless secure entry into buildings with the wave of a hand. These chips can capture and relay detailed data, constantly monitoring a worker's state, so actually helping with their well-being, and a whole host of other scenarios. So while it does seem far-fetched, reality is a lot closer than we think.
Yeah, that's a fine assessment, but I'm curious about your personal answer. Would you go for this? Would you ever consider it?
I, in the surface, I would say no, but when you consider the scenarios I just laid out, it would make your day so much easier. You know, sort of the Minority Report of being able to literally walk through a grocery store and not need to check out, being able to do biotech into my work systems and not remember a multitude of multi-factor passwords and so on and so forth. It does seem pretty attractive for the benefits it can achieve. You know, obviously everything needs to come with a level of governance. And I think the big word that was mentioned earlier was trust, right? That seems to be the underlying theme about how far we'll go with AI.
Yeah. Well, if we're relying on trust in our governments, well, we might be hard pressed to go very far with it these days. Natalia, which way would you go with getting a chip implanted? Would you consider that?
Absolutely not. I'm very cautious even with using social media. I haven't used social media for the longest time for reasons of privacy, for reasons of all this manipulation and nudging, which I like to avoid. And, you know, yeah, 4,000 Swedes implanted those chips. But I have lived actually in Sweden for almost 10 years. And the reason they do that or did that is because of that level of trust and the social contract between the citizens of the country and the government is very, very different compared, for example, to, you know, here in North America or other parts of the world. And I think that's why, you know, they are eager to have those chips implanted. And like Tim was saying, there is this, you know, attractiveness of you know, speed through the logins, yeah,
that
or
convenience
gates.
Factor.
The
often
convenience
sells
factor.
People, right?
Exactly, yes. And but there's this also paradox, because when you ask people, you know, privacy versus convenience, and people kind of concerned about privacy, but they also want convenience. And so a lot of them, actually a lot of us go for convenience. But personally, you know, I'm on the side of privacy.
Yeah, my take on it is I just, like, in my gut, I feel like it would be a bad idea. I don't see myself doing this, although since, you know, the prospect of getting paid more, do I have a price? You wonder what it would take. But I just think that in every scenario where you want an implant, surely a wearable device would accomplish the same sort of thing. And then I could just be comfortable with my ability to take it off of my body and not have it on me. That's, I just want some control over when that's associated with my identity and my person. A couple data points here. Oh, go ahead and tell you. Yeah.
And also the question is, you know, where is your, that data, your personal data? Where is it going? Who's using it for what purposes? Right.
Right. Yeah. That would have to be, you'd have to know that. And certainly, you know, from this survey question, people are open to the idea clearly, but there would be a lot of unanswered questions, right? You'd have to know a lot more information about the actual scenario. Good point. So 48% would get the implant if it improved their performance and pay, so almost half. And 65% of professionals think there's going to be some sort of future two-tier workforce where we have enhanced people versus non-enhanced, which I think is a really fascinating idea, that now we're going to have different classes of professionals that either choose the technological advancement or not. Any thoughts there, Tim?
Yeah, I think it becomes very Logan's Run like in that scenario. But you know, I do think we've already demonstrated our willingness to give up personal information for convenience. I think Natalia's points are very well taken. There needs to be a level of governance and trust on how that information is going to be used and the like. But yes, if some people are more comfortable with it and other people are not, yeah, there will be some people will gain the advantage of that augmentation, and others won't. Whether that is through biometrics, whether it's through wearables or whether it's through implants, I think is TBD. I think we check in 10, 15 years and see where everyone's head's at.
or maybe we'll have the RFID enabled tracking of their heads at that point. We'll see, depending on which way the implants go. Let's move on to another aspect of the survey, because the implants stuff is fun, but there's a lot more to this. So the surveys included both executives and lower level employees, as I explained. There was an interesting analysis with these groups having different overall visions of what AI will mean for the future of work. So executives see a future where work is centralized to organizations and AI augments workers. Now, but lower level employees see a future where work is more distributed and AI is more likely to replace workers. So why do you think there's such a gap between the vision of executives and employees for that future, Tim?
Yeah, I think it does get back to the trust factor and fear, right? Where, workers are afraid that the advances in technology are going to replace them. I think there's actually executives, fear, moving away from that command and control. I will say this is a real challenging time to field this research. Luckily, we supplemented it with qualitative interviews from thought leaders and academics and the like, but in light of the current environment we're in, as I said at my starting statement, pre-pandemic, there was just a bias against distributed work, that work could happen outside mm-hmm. of us. And now that we've proven that, you're seeing, like I indicated before, you're seeing employees recognize that they can actually be more productive, be more focused, drive more well-being, actually help the environment, things like that. They can do work outside of an office, outside of a major metropolitan area. And that's why you've got 47% of knowledge workers considering moving out of these locations because they can work elsewhere. You also have executives now seeing that, hey, this distributed work, this flexible work or hybrid work model can unlock new opportunities for me. And it's not just about cost reduction and real estate reduction, but it is actually about tapping into new pools of talent, being able to think about work in a different way. We were aware of a number of companies that are kind of fully replacing their centralized call centers with a home force of people where they arm with the technology, the knowledge that they need, and they're fielding our help calls from their coffee table at home. And this is liberating, and this is where you're going to see, in the study we talk about four different scenarios, all the way from automation corporations, those ones where hey, you are going to replace workers and it's going to be command and control, to full freelance frontiers where the large organization evaporates, and you'll see a group of smaller shops crop up and a lot of free agent employees. All connected via technology to be able to assemble quickly, to drive innovation, drive creativity. I think we'll fall somewhere, we'll fall certainly somewhere in between, in my opinion, as to what the future holds.
Yeah, interesting stuff. This idea that AI could help drive more distribution of work and sort of take away that central office that we're all coming into. And of course, that's really how work is being transformed by this pandemic, I'd say an experience that will resonate with many. 60% of employees think that permanent employees will be rare by 2035, but only 19% of leaders think the same. So that's interesting dichotomy there, that people who are in lower level positions maybe just think that because of different factors, maybe partly because of AI, they won't be as necessary to keep in a permanent stance. Natalia, what's your take on this? How will AI be viewed differently by executives versus their staff?
That's a really puzzling finding, and I think Tim probably analyzed it quite well. I think it's like you said, executives, looking for retaining command and control, and employees are fearing of losing jobs because the trend started way before the pandemic. The trend started quite a few years ago with this gig economy, and now it's just we're just sort of seeing more of it. And AI probably, contribute as well.
Yeah, I could see that. A couple. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. If I can add one more thing as we move on this topic, what gets very, very exciting is I mentioned before, people replacing their centralized call centers with a home force. And some are going as far as to, I'll call it the Uberification of work, really tapping into skilled workers that had opted out of the workforce for various reasons, the stay-at-home parent, the stay-at-home caregiver, the recent retiree who doesn't want to work 40 hours a week, but is willing to log on a few hours twice a week in order to field support calls. This is what is liberating about bringing AI, bringing technology into the workforce, and blending it with these more flexible models. It wasn't too long ago, if you can think way back to pre-pandemic, 9 months ago, the discussions we were having was about the critical shortage of medium to high-skilled workers. McKinsey estimated there was a shortage of 95 million medium to high-skilled workers around the globe, and especially in acute in our sector, where key work skill sets like analytics, security, AI, business intelligence, that were required to help drive the digital transformation that companies needed, were scarce. And that hasn't gone away. But if you can leverage AI, leverage technology to kind of embrace these more flexible work models, you begin to kind of crack the code on that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that'll be interesting to see where the future takes us over the next 15 years. I feel like the world has changed so much just this year that I can't even imagine what it will really look like in 2035. So fascinating to go through these survey results with the both of you and get some ideas about what work could look like. What will AI be like? How will we use it? What are the implications for how we organize ourselves? Any final thoughts before we wrap up here, Natalia?
Yeah, Brian, I think you said it well. I think, this study, this foundational study really is just the beginning of an ongoing project that we're working with academia, enterprises, thought leaders, really to not just project what the future might hold, but actually to kind of put action plans in place on how companies need to adapt. Certainly, we will see the emergence of the augmented worker. We're already seeing that. Certainly, we will see companies begin to rethink their work models, rethink the role the office plays, rethink the idea of the workforce. We're already seeing that. But when you bring it all together, I think we're going to see something we haven't seen in decades, which is a dramatic acceleration in productivity. You're going to see innovation and growth begin to soar. And that's what's really exciting about all of this, this combination of, taking the shackles off of traditional, hierarchical command and control work models, where we organize work around a hub and then hire people around that hub, and, right down the street from our competitors, and making it very difficult to maintain a stable workforce and build the skills that we want, combined with the rapid advancement of AI and technology and the openness to leverage that to transform how we do our day jobs and how we live. I think we're on the cusp of yet another massive advancement of productivity and innovation.
And Natalia, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think this study was really fascinating, and I think it was very interesting to read, but the future may not be exactly like we're anticipating, because technology, societal changes, and other dynamics kind of throw sometimes a wrench, and things kind of go down differently than anticipated. And even historically, if you look at, for example, the introduction of electricity and all the expectation around how it would increase productivity and what have you, yeah, some of it happened. It took, though, quite a lot of time, I think at least 40, 60 years, for some of that productivity to show up, or increase in productivity, and for some of it, in some areas, it never showed up. So I think, you know, the future will may be different from what this survey has painted. But it's a fantastic, very interesting survey to read. And I wonder if that's something that could be done maybe on a regular basis, you know, once every year, once every few years, because it would be interesting to see also how the dynamic is changing.
Yeah, the evolving view of the future.
That's right.
Okay, thanks for that, Natalia, and thank you so much, Tim, for joining us. This was a fascinating survey. It was really great content to read through, and I found imagining this year 2035 to be a lot of fun, so I appreciate that. And for our listeners, thank you for listening to Tech Insights. Remember, you can subscribe to this show. We're on Spotify. You can find us there. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and on Google Podcasts. So be sure to subscribe, and we'll be having more episodes about the future of technology over the next couple of months. So tune in. Thanks. I'm Brian Jackson.